This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Monday. Hope your Mondays are going well. Thanks for being with us here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Get to a comeback story here in a couple of minutes. But let's trigger everybody up, shall we? Story coming out over the weekend. This is on Pro Football Talk. Football Scoop had this story. And it led one gentleman on our Facebook page to probably leave my favorite comment of all time.
I mean, incredibly insensitive and immature comment, but yeah, sure.
It's absolutely tasteless, and you question his education level, but made me chuckle. So the story is that there are a number of states out there in the United States of America that are proposing legislation that would ban children under the age of 14 from playing tackle football. This is happening in Maryland, Illinois, New York State has had a law filed, and California has authored a similar proposal, which would make them the first state to prohibit minors from playing organized tackle football before the high school level. Some of the lawmakers said they were following advice of medical professionals who believe limiting tackle football would help prevent young athletes from sustaining long-term brain damage caused by repetitive tackling, hitting, and blocking. One of the people said the science is clear. Head injuries sustained at a young age could harm kids for the rest of their lives. Developing skills through flag football before high school is sound public policy from a health and safety standpoint. Thoughts, Brandon Sprague? Is this the right thing to do, to pass a law banning children from playing tackle football?
The way I kind of view this, one, you're always going to have people really upset by this kind of stuff because you have so many other issues in every state, county, city, all that, that people feel like legislators and politicians are not focusing enough on. So, you know, predictably, I put this on Facebook, and that's kind of the argument. Are you battling the opiate crisis? Well, I mean, yeah, but also there's only so much you can do, right? So I don't understand the real upset crowd on this. Now, am I a fan or a proponent of the government telling me what I can or cannot have my kid choose to do? No, but I think some of these things are also, we need to take a step back and ask yourself, is it okay? Should we be putting our kids in a situation where they do harm to themselves, right? Like bike crashes, you cannot control that. I just taught my daughter how to ride a bike on two wheels, and I stand there and I'm terrified as all hell.
Right.
Because she's going to crash. It's just going to happen.
At some point, yeah.
But I'm not letting her do that without a helmet, right? And if they didn't make the helmet law, would you allow your kid to ride a bike without a helmet?
Probably not.
Right. So I think people would, but we don't have a problem with that law. It's just right. About picking and choosing what laws do you have a problem with and why, and then deciding how you feel about the football one. For me, you know, some of the states that you mentioned are doing 12 and under, and I believe California is doing 14. So basically all the states are proposing it or saying they don't want kids to play tackle football before high school. I've had this conversation with many a parent with boy children. And my just opinion, based on what we've learned and what we hear and what we see, I think having tackling football before high school is A-okay. And then you teach them their freshman year, the fundamentals. You can even do maybe summer courses where you're tackling dummies without pads. You can learn fundamentals of tackling and then try to work on that your first year of high school. But again, this is one of those issues, Dirt, that I think you're just ultimately going to piss a lot of people off with.
Yeah, you really are. And I think that's a tough part of it, where I think to disregard the health concerns of the people who are trying to pass laws like this, I think is short-sighted. Like they're mostly coming from a good place of realizing, look, your brain is developing, what, until you're 19, 20 years old.
22.
Right? So if you're allowed to tackle it 12 or 13 years old, You know, what does that do for you, especially if it's repetitive, collisions with other kids? But, you know, I put that against myself, who started playing tackle football, I want to say, in fourth grade.
I was in fifth.
You know, I started pretty early. How old are you in fourth grade? Like 9 to 8, 10?
Yeah, 9, 10, 11.
I lose track of age, right?
So there, yeah.
Somewhere in that range. And I know some listeners would disagree with this. I don't have any brain damage, at least that I know of. I think the vast majority of kids who play tackle football at that age and don't go on to play college and NFL football don't have any brain damage from it. And this is a choice. Like, I understand what they're trying to do, and I understand the concern, and it's real. This, to me, is a decision that should be left with parents and their children. If you don't want kids, if you don't want your kids to play tackle football, you need to suck it up and be the bad guy,
right?
And say you're not allowed. You can't play until you're in high school. Once you're in high school, whatever, you can go do your own thing. Or hell, maybe you don't want to play it at all. But there's a lot of parents out there that are okay with their kids playing tackle football, and
livelihood for some.
Right, you're taking this opportunity away from their children, and I think it's important to point out that the Aspen Institute has been tracking data of youth football participation over the last number of years, and when you look at from 2008 to 2016, the kids between the ages of 6 and 12 that played tackle football, I can't believe you can do it at 6, but apparently you can, between 6 and 12, it dropped 28% from 2008 to 2016. So this is an area that I already see it policing itself a little bit, if you will. There's a 28% drop. Why does that drop exist? We know more about brain damage. We know more about the health risk. And there's a lot of parents out there that are saying, you know what? No, I don't want you to go get hit in the head at the age of 12 or 13. You can play in high school if you want, but you can play flag until then and you'll be fine. And you've seen it drop by 28% because of that. I have no problem with this being an issue that polices itself. If you want your kids to play, let them play. If you don't, then don't let them play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really disagree with you. I mean, we may have two differing opinions. You know, if you have a boy someday, right? You finally say, I have a kid, you got a son, and you're okay with him playing football. I'm not going to sit here as your friend and co-host and go, I think you're a terrible parent. That's your choice. That's you and your kid's decision, and that's great. We can differ on that. The legislating is what really bothers people. Now, I would say, from the legislation standpoint, a lot of this is protecting yourself against future financial harm. If you need to change something and make these parents sign some ultimate waiver of some sort where you're basically barring and no way they can sue you if something does happen to your child, if that already doesn't happen with the waivers they have, then great, do that. But if you want to allow kids to go make that decision or parents to make that decision for their kids, I'm okay with it too. We can differ on it, but that doesn't make me right and you wrong or you right and me wrong. We just have a differing view of the circumstance themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I get it. And I have no problem with kids playing flag football. I think flag is a great way to teach fundamentals.
I would just say, for the people that are really hate this kind of stuff, right, they get really upset, which is kind of funny to me that you get so upset about it. But for the people really upset by it, do you think your kid would not have equally as much fun playing flag football as tackle? Take a 9 or 10-year-old. Because I remember playing tackle football the first time. And you had kids that were obviously way bigger, thicker.
Yeah.
You were scared to get hit. I remember playing Whitaker, and Whitaker came to Park Rose.
Whitaker was always
dominant. Those kids were always bigger. They were faster.
I don't know where the hell they found those kids.
The first hit I ever took, the kid hit me to the ground. I saw stars, and I was like, oh, my God, that hurt.
They had mustaches in like the fifth grade.
They for sure did. Thank God they ceased to exist. But I remember memories like that. And then I ask myself, you know, if I were to say, my mom says no to tackle and says you can only play flag. I loved playing flag football.
Yeah, your heart wouldn't have been broken. You would have done it.
I played. That's how I did it when you go to these summer camps. Most of them don't have tackle unless you go to exclusive football camp.
Right.
That's what we played. We played flag football. I had a ton of fun.
Right. Yeah, what do you think about this? 55305. Is this out of bounds for some of these states to try and ban tackle football either under the age of 14 or under the age of 12. It's happening right now in Maryland, Illinois, California, and New York, trying to get rid of it. They're saying the research is in, medical professionals have spoken, and it's not healthy for kids to be playing tackle football. Obviously, it has nothing to do with the high school level. You can still play tackle football on the high school level, not in those respective states. But what do you think? 55305. We'll read some of your thoughts on the other side. Also, a comeback story in the National Football League that I'm curious if people will feel sympathy and root for it to happen. Next on The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. 217.
What's up, Squints?
What's up, Squints? Yeah. Wendy Peppercorn. Danny tweeted, I said, wow, take back what you said about Whitaker. The building is gone, but the people aren't. Whitaker was the most dominant Pop Warner football team in
mankind. I'm not talking about the people, but good God, did you guys just have a beast football program.
It was nuts.
It was so unfair. Right? I remember the first time our coach, they were like, hey, our first game's against Whitaker.
Yeah, like,
they're
oh,
really
God.
Good at football. And some kid, I'm not legit, was like, my mom wouldn't let me play at Whitaker because I wasn't big enough. Now I came here, we had to play Whitaker.
This picture of the kid in the Little Giants, he tucks his head into his shoulder pads.
Dude,
where did he go? He ripped his head off.
What was the, what was his spike? It was like a whole football team's of spikes, and none of us were Becky the Icebox.
Yeah, if you didn't play a Pop Warner in this area, you did not know about Whitaker and their dominance on the Pop Warner gridiron.
We were all the kid in Little Giants when Whitaker played you. Blow the whistle! Blow the whistle!
Getting dragged, hanging on to the end of the jersey. Ah, dear Lord. Okay, most people kept it pretty level-headed, so let's read some of the responses at the fan text line 55305. If you're just joining us, there are four different states that are proposing legislation to ban kids either under the age of 12 or 14 from playing tackle football. Somebody said, when I played hockey, there wasn't any checking or slap shots until seventh grade. Lacrosse is limited in hitting until high school, no hitting at the elementary school age. So there's two sports that do a pretty similar thing. You can't check guys into the boards when you're in fourth grade playing hockey. You can't fire away slap shots because it might hurt kids. So hockey doesn't. It's just okay.
Okay, I'm glad somebody brought hockey up because I know nothing of hockey or how children do it, but I have a cousin in Tacoma whose kid plays on a team, but I don't know what the regulations are.
My guess
are.
Is most of the rules are that way, that you're not allowed to check and you're not allowed to fire away slap shots until a certain age.
The problem with football versus hockey is like the game has to be played with a tackle.
Yeah, you can't. I mean,
if you can go and play hockey without checking somebody.
You can. If it's tackle football, you have to tackle.
Yeah. By the way, you said you'd never seen as low as six. There's little 6 year olds by like between Beaverton Hills, Hillsboro, where I drive past off Cornelius Pass. And there's a big field. Every time it's nice out in the fall, like late summer, early fall, there's like 7 year old kids. Cutest damn thing you've ever seen in your life.
Playing tackle football?
They're just, their shoulder pads and helmets moving around. It's crazy. And they're running all slow and...
Yeah, that's a little early for me.
No, I'm not saying I would do it, but just as an observer driving by, you look over and you're like, that's cute.
Oh, look at those little kids, huh? Jim RP2 said they should start banning bicycles, skateboards, any physical activity that might put children in harm's way if you're going to do this. What else do we got here? I kind of agree with it, but at the same time, why is football that gets this stigma? I played football from 5th to 12th grade, no concussions. I played lacrosse in high school and college, 3 concussions. Why is it only football that is getting attacked?
Soccer deals with the same thing, too.
That's a valid argument that I see quite a bit. Somebody said, I love playing football in my youth, but didn't play in high school to focus on baseball, so I would have never gotten the opportunity to play with laws like this. Let's see here. A couple of those texts, then no skateboards, bicycles, no baseball, softball. Let's walk around in bubble wrap. I enjoyed that. Somebody said, my son is 10 years old. He has to play football literally every single day. There is no way in hell that he is playing football, and I'm perfectly willing to be the bad guy. I 100% do not want the government telling me what I can and cannot do with my kids. And that's just, I think that's a good summation of my take on this.
But where do you, okay, so let me, I'm not saying that I disagree with you, just kind of playing the other side here for a second.
Sure.
Where do you draw the line then? Because if somebody says, well, this puts you at risk for brain injury because it's too early, it's developing, it's not good. And you say, well, get the hell out of here. Let me do and choose what I want. Versus you decide not to give your kid, I don't know, a shot, a flu shot or whatever it is, and then they call child support on you. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're trying to say.
Like, where do you draw a line on that? That's my hard part.
It's tough, and every parent, look, I'm not a parent. Every parent's going to have a different answer on that. I personally, if I had a son, I would not let my kid as a six-year-old play tackle football.
Right.
Like, there are gross
So what's
extremes.
The age for you?
Probably sixth grade is when I would let them start. I don't think there's much reason to start before sixth grade. You can play flag until you're fourth and fifth in elementary school. When you get to middle school, you can go play tackle football. That's how most kids did. You know, somebody said, my son's played since seventh grade. He's now about to play his senior year next year. The way kids are taught to play is far better than when I played. I'm all for playing kids seventh grade on. Somebody pointing to a different thing, saying the issue is young coaches. Many are good. Some, however, do not teach the technique. Bigger kids will learn to use their hands move their feet better in flag football.
Sure.
11 years as a youth coach, can't tell you how many kids went to the knees to block or tackled too high. And I think that's the glaring issue in this that doesn't get brought up enough. It's the coaching. Because if you have proper coaching at that age, I'm not super concerned about the risk. I understand your brain's still developing, but let's not act like you're taking hits like you're taking in college in NFL. And how many documented cases have there been of CTE from people who just played Pop Warner football, right? I mean,
didn't they do a part of a study like that on high school kids?
There was a part of a study, but it was not very extensive. We'll just say that. It was people that thought they might have had brain damage, and who knows if it was just from football or from something else. That jury is still out on the amount of brain damage just playing Pop Warner football can do.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it comes down to coaching. If you have proper coaching and you have people that are teaching the right techniques, I think you can mitigate a lot of the risk there for young kids.
What do you do, though, when your coach is not teaching proper techniques, but you're not a coach yourself? Who do you tell that to?
Yeah, that's tough.
You call the league office,
right?
And say, hey, my coach sucks?
That's tough.
And then put you in an awkward situation.
Well, this is where the legislation, if they want to legislate stuff, then they need to go to, in order to be, you know, whether it's the high school associations or whether it's the youth organizations, they have to require proper training and do it that way in order to be licensed to, you know, be able to compete. That's where you can do it.
Yeah.
And that way,
you should just legislate the coaching thing. Basically kind of what I think you're talking about is figure out a way.
Well, the problem is if you really wanted to make it safe, you would reinvest and actually pay people to give up their time and go to coaching clinics and know the right way to do this. Like, we don't pay high school coaches to begin with. What do high school coaches get? A couple of $1,000 a year?
Yeah, well,
not like they're getting paid.
Unless you're coaching a Jesuit.
Well, that's a whole different conversation. But that's a problem to begin with, is you're asking these people to give up their time and coach youth, but you're not paying them for it. And then it's even more. I mean, these are parents that are giving up their time. Some of them take it seriously and know what they're doing. A lot of them don't, and they're reliving their glory days and want to see the biggest hits they can on a practice field.
See, though, to this day, though, I played soccer first before I played tackle football, and I really enjoyed playing soccer, running around, hitting it, trying to score goals. I never had a headache or head injury more in football than I did one time I hit a soccer ball with, like, my forehead head area.
Wrong spot of your head.
It hit me. It was going real hard. I jumped. It hit me square in the head. Ended up being actually a decent little pass to my teammate. But, man, after that game, I had like a splitting migraine for 2 days.
Well,
I never experienced that playing tackle football.
They're banning heading in a lot of the youth leagues.
Well, yeah, I think that road.
It goes down to the listener point, though. Why is it just football, and why is it not legislation on soccer? And maybe banning it in different leagues is what it takes, but I just know from my experience I had that.
I enjoyed this for all the people that say this is like a new nanny state thing. With somebody texting in, back in my day, which was the late 60s, early 70s, tackle football was not allowed until you were in the 7th grade. So,
oh, like even Pop Warner?
Where he's from, apparently, they didn't allow him to play tackle football until 6th or 7th grade. So
they've always been nannies.
New issue. To come full circle on this, my stance on it, I have no problem if you don't want your kids to play football. Everybody wants to raise their children differently, and that is your decision. I don't like government getting in the way of this kind of stuff.
Right, the government part I totally get. The part that gets me is, are you making the right choice for your kid if they ask to play in 6th grade? Because, I mean, their friends are playing. That's why they want to play, right? It's a cool, fun sport. You see it on TV. Just with what we know, I think that's the tough part for me, is finding that point of balance of, sure, make your decision. Or, man, I know a lot of information, or I see this, I read that, et cetera.
Yeah, somebody said, I'm a high school football coach. I made $3,000 this year. Somebody said, I think the Camas head coach made $5 million this year. So
Camas for sure made $5 million. But shout out to you for making 3 stacks.
Right? 3 stacks, man.
What are you ducking your head for?
Well,
some coaches in this area make a lot of money.
Hey, go get your money. I'm not hating on you.
I've heard things about old Steve Corey over there, Laco.
He's living good.
I know the Jesuit coach probably makes 6 figs. Some of these coaches, they win. You get paid. You got programs that pay. You don't think Canvas isn't paying their coach?
That's right, man.
Three stacks, though. That's not bad.
Not bad.
If you love football, you get to go to practice. You get some three stacks.
Worst things you could do. So there you go. Thanks for keeping it pretty level-headed. You can go respond to comments on our Facebook page. And if you want to see the comment of the day from one of our listeners, I tweeted it out at Theodore Johnson. I'm assuming it's been hid by now from our Facebook page. Sometimes we do that.
I just say be better. Like, you want to disagree? That's great.
Yeah.
Government, get out of my parenting. That's fine.
Yeah.
Be better than Dave.
Yeah. Go see what Dave said at Theodore Johnson. I tweeted it out and make that the goal today. Let's be better than Dave.
Let's just be better than Dave.
hey, a potential comeback in the National Football League. A two-part question for you. A, will it work? B, are you rooting for it to work? Next. Hey, something cool happened in the state of Oregon over the weekend, but did anybody watch? Get to that coming up. Close out the show. Don't call it a comeback, my man. Johnny Manziel, back in the news.
Johnny Football.
Johnny Football. If you were wondering, what's going on with Johnny Football? Wonder what happened to that guy. Well, last we heard, he was signing with the Canadian Football League. I don't know what's going to happen with that. And then he tried to get into the XFL when that news broke, and he was joking about it. But his legal track record, I believe, prohibits him from playing. But he did a sit-down interview with Good Morning America, and kind of came clean about his life and how he got here and what he's trying to do. And he talked about his issues with alcohol.
I was self-medicating with alcohol. Like, that's what I thought was making me happy and helped me get out of that depression to a point of where I felt like I had some sense of happiness. But at the end of the day, when you wake up the next day after a night like that or after going on a trip like that, and you wake up the next day and that's all gone, and that liquid courage or that liquid, like, sense of euphoria that's over you is all gone, and you're left staring at the ceiling by yourself, and you're back in that depression and back in that hole, that dark hole of sitting in a room by yourself, being super depressed, thinking about all the mistakes you've made in your life. What did that get me? Where did that get me except out of the NFL? Where did that get me? Disgrace?
And he also talked about his issue that is now he's developed and realized he has been diagnosed as bipolar.
About a year ago, sometime around like June or July, I went to a facility in California. At the end of the day, I can't help that my wires are a little bit differently crossed than yours. I can't help my mental makeup of the way that I was created. But I know that if I stay on these meds and I continue to do what I'm doing right now, I think my dad, I think my mom, I think Bree would all agree that they've seen a drastic change. Now, the question that you asked was, is that sustainable and will that be the case moving forward? I would like to sit here and say yes, and I have a lot of confidence that that would be the case. But at the end of the day, it's to be seen. I'm still moving forward. I'm still doing the little meticulous things that I have to do on a daily basis to try and keep this right over anything else is what means the most to me. So the main thing to me is not physical health, it's mental.
So Johnny Manziel says he was self-medicating with alcohol. He's been diagnosed as bipolar. He's now on medication. And he is planning a comeback to the National Football League. He's hoping one team is willing to give him a chance. Two-parter. One, will he be able to make a comeback? And two, are you rooting for Johnny Manziel?
You mean Willie as in he'll make a team?
Yeah, you think he'll make a team in the
NFL?
No,
I don't. I'm actually glad Johnny Manziel came out and talked about bipolar and identifying it and going through what he thought was the right way of dealing with it, because I just know people personally in my life that don't, and they didn't deal with it properly. They're ashamed to admit it. And you need people like this to come out and speak on it and make somebody else out there feel like it's okay to say, hey, I feel a little different than somebody else. But here's my feeling on Johnny Manziel. Even if he would have identified this coming out of college, kept his head on straight, I never thought he really had the ability to be an NFL quarterback. He's small, and it's not just height, it's weight. I didn't think he really had the arm strength for it, and he just doesn't strike me as an NFL quarterback, a guy you seriously want to put on your roster to potentially put out there to lead your team, even as a backup. We make fun of a lot of backups in this league. Still, I would take all those guys over Johnny Manziel, and I think he may get a call, but yeah. I don't know if that's going to actually equal him making a roster spot. I would bet no, and I take it a step further. If he does, That's a damn shame. And the NFL is clearly blackballing Colin Kaepernick because he is night and day substantially better than what Johnny Manziel is.
Yeah, that's not even close. We had a poll question on this today asking about now that he's identified his issues, he's no longer drinking. Can he make it? Can he turn into anything in the league? 48% of you said no, sober or not, he's not good. 40% said sure, he could hang on as a backup. And 12% said why not? Maybe he could turn into a starter. So some folks have some hope out there.
Some people still think he could be a starter
still
in the
league? Still think he could be a starter in the league. Now, I agree with you on that. I'm not giving him much of a chance, although it's nice to see him back on the right path. He said, when asked what kind of comeback he wanted to be, he said, I don't know what kind of comeback, but I know I want to get back on the football field. What brought me so much joy in my life, and it makes me happy doing as my job. I'm glad that he's gotten to the point where he, at least as of now, we'll see. We've seen guys do stuff like this and then fall off the rails again.
There's a little PR to this interview.
There's a ton of PR to this interview. He's sitting down doing this interview because it's the offseason. Teams are going into the draft process, finding quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He wants to get a tryout for next year. I get it. But if what he's saying at least is true, that he's no longer drinking and he's discovered what his medical issues were and he was bipolar and now he's on medications for it, at least I'm happy for the guy because his life fell apart. Like,
yeah.
From where this guy went as a Heisman Trophy winner, and it was one of the train wrecks, I think, as sports fans, you could all see it coming. Like, some of these come out of nowhere and you're like, wow, what happened to that guy? He fell off the face of the earth. You know, Sammy Sosa's white and dressing like a cowboy now. Like, whoa, what happened, Sammy? We saw this one coming with Manziel from his times at Texas A&M, the stuff that was coming up about him when he was there, mm-hmm. when he got drafted, all the partying that he would do, you know, the domestic violence allegations. Like, this was a train wreck that we all watched. And, like, this is all PR. It's all spin. He's trying to get public perception back on his side and come back into the national spotlight. But as long as his life is together, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was living a TMZ life. When you live a TMZ life where all the headlines are that you were at the club and you're getting out at 3 a.m. or you're on a beach with some new random hottie, living it up, drinking, hanging out on yachts, you tend to find yourself in situations like that. And I think you're right. I think if you date this back to Texas Tech in his last year there, going into the draft, most people had kind of identified that, hey, don't draft that guy first round. And then lo and behold, what did the Cleveland Browns do?
It's Cleveland, yeah.
I did find it interesting that he thinks his career is a little different because I believe that the phrasing he used was that he didn't take it serious enough. He didn't have his head on straight. And would his career have been different if he came into the league
focused? Didn't have the drinking issues.
Yeah, again, I don't mean to sound like a Johnny football hater. I loved watching him play in college. I just never... And I still don't think he is really an NFL quarterback. I just think he has things working against him physically.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate part.
Yeah, you said Texas A&M. You said Texas Tech.
Oh, A&M. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and people are texting in. Somebody said, who cares about football? He's acknowledged his problems. He knows he has a fight. Isn't out of the woods. He might be a contributing member to society. And that's the bigger issue here. Just the fact that he's at least wrestled with and solved, hopefully, for the long term, some of his demons that he had. And, you know, as long as he can keep his life on the straight and narrow and doesn't start boozing again and go off like we've seen other guys do before, let's not act like he's not going to be able to find a job. Like, ESPN would hire a guy like Johnny Manziel in a heartbeat to be an analyst.
If he wanted to do it,
If he wanted to do it.
I'd love to hear him talk.
Right? He didn't have any chances. You know, maybe he tries to give it a go in the NFL, and they say, no, he's going to get hired as a studio analyst.
He does a lot of Barstool stuff. I know that.
There's a lot of stuff with Barstool. He can work in media. He's out, you know, I'm sure the guy's got all sorts of stories from his playing days, all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. It's just that his life's put back together. He knows how to take advantage of PR.
This is happening because of football, though, right?
Yes.
Like, we can be happy for an individual if they can overcome alcoholism or identify that they have something that needs to be addressed, like bipolar. But ultimately, this is popping up in large part because of football. I want to be back in the NFL. Sure. This is why I was the way I was. And this is what I've been doing since, fill in the date.
Sure. Yeah, if he wasn't trying to be back and playing football, I don't think he's doing this interview.
Well, but and here's the other thing teams are going to have to think about, because I know he said a couple teams had already given him a phone call. Do you roll the dice a little bit here? I know that sounds unfair given what the guy is talking about, but you just have to weigh if you want your team to be involved in the headlines, because there's a potential risk there.
Sure.
You have to have people like this. They have to prove it far more than you do give them a chance, because you can get burned.
Absolutely.
And burned again, and you don't want to look stupid.
Yeah, somebody texted him, barring he keeps his life together, his best contribution to the NFL maybe is a counselor to rookies and young guys in the league. I think it's a valuable point. Warning, guys. We see a lot of those. Maurice Clarett's turned into that, too. You know, he goes around and talks to people and shares his message of, you know, hey, don't follow the same path I did. Don't make the same mistakes I did. Johnny Manziel can be the next example of that. So Manziel says he's sober. He says he was self-medicating with alcohol, and he's moved on from that. He was diagnosed as bipolar. He's on medication, and he's looking for an NFL comeback. We'll see if a team gives him a shot this offseason. Hey, what did LaVar Ball have to say this time? And something cool happening in the state of Oregon that we're curious if anybody's paying attention to. We'll get to those things next on The Fan. Ah, lovely day indeed here in Portland. Welcome back in. 247. Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour.
So deceiving.
It is. You look outside and it's like, man, it is June. Then you go outside.
I'm sitting in here trying to get sunburned through a window, and then I'm going to be reminded that it's 40 degrees outside.
Yeah, I don't think we cracked 50 today.
Didn't quite, yeah. That's all right, man. I'll take this any day. How nice has it been this winter? I know we've talked about that a lot.
Been great.
What a great winter.
Do you think we're going to be in store for like a late March snow of some sort?
God, I hope not. Next week, I saw it's supposed to get a little colder.
It was pretty damn cold this morning. It was like 25 degrees.
It was cold. We were doing the Winterhawks game last night, and they had the Daylight Classic, but it was 5 p.m. It's not really a daylight thing, but the curtains are down at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Beautiful day for that.
Yeah.
Just sun everywhere, blue skies.
It kind of throws you off when you go to a sporting event in the with the sun is still like out, because Oregon State had a civil war with Oregon a few years back, and it was like a 2 o'clock tip. Same thing. And Gil, when the sun's out, it beams
through. Yeah, you can see
through.
It coming into the building.
And you're like, whoa, this is kind of weird. You're used to the night thing.
Right, you're just used to a night game. Hey, you know, Lonzo's not going to be playing for the Lakers very often because he's leaving in 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Lonzo Ball is going to be gone. He doesn't want to be a Laker anymore. LaVar Ball has spoken. He's been out of the news for a couple of weeks, so he needed to be relevant again. And he talked to some reporter over there, wherever the hell his other kids are playing, and he said that their plan is, if the Lakers do not sign whatever the next brother is, it's coming into the draft next year.
It's LaMelo? No.
Or LiAngelo.
LiAngelo.
That one of the Ninja Turtles. If they don't sign him, then Lonzo will bounce after his third year, and he will go play with whatever NBA team signs all three of them.
Have fun in Sacramento.
They have De'Aaron Fox. They don't want Lonzo
If
Ball.
There's an NBA team that does this just to get Lonzo, who would it be?
The what Knicks.
You think, nah, you think
no.
The Knicks would do it?
Yeah.
Would sign all
mean,
three of
no.
them?
What? It's for sure the Knicks.
Of all the NBA teams that take on the crappy brothers just to get Lonzo?
It's the Knicks. It's the S show that is James Dolan and getting people to the arena. It's the New York Knicks.
Well, you know what this is going to mean, though? If somebody does sign all the brothers, according to LaVar, it's going to mean championship, championship, championship.
Mm. That's Coach LaVar, by the way.
You don't have
He's 1-0.
He said you got to keep the team together for a long time, but you can't because anymore. Okay, that's all.
So if they would have played on UCLA, they would have won the national title last year.
Sure. He also said we don't have to go to the draft. Just sign him as a free agent. You don't have to give Jello.
That's what they call him.
Jello?
Yeah. Because it's LiAngelo, so they call him Jello. Hey, Jello.
You don't have to give Jello $15 million. Give him $1 million for 3 years. Wait, hold on. I'm not done. Let me finish
contract
the quote, okay?
Negotiations.
Okay, you don't have to give him $15 million. Give him $1 million for 3 years. We'll take it because they make so much money off the court, they lose spare change. I don't know if I've ever rooted for somebody to fail in the NBA more than I've rooted for Lonzo
to
fail.
It's so unfair for Lonzo.
No, it's not. Screw it. At this point, it's on him. Speak
it's
up.
On him.
Tell him to shut
Tell
up.
Tell your old man to shut the hell up.
If you like being a Laker and you want to stay there, you don't let your dad say crap like this that you're going to leave in 2 years.
Did you guys ever tell your dad to shut the hell up?
If he said this, yes, I would. And he's going to leave 1080 The Fan in 2 years unless you hire my nephew to go work with the station as well. I'd say, you know what? Stay out of my business. This is my job.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, no, I have zero sympathy for
him
anymore.
He's going to go to Western Oregon if Lewis and Clark doesn't step it up in the recruiting process.
I have zero sympathy for Lonzo anymore. At first, it was like, he's in college. It's weird. I've never seen something like this. Now, this is on him. Tell your dad to shut up.
You got to learn to be a pro. This is what it means to
be a
pro.
You're a grown-ass man.
You handle your business.
They asked Jordan Clarkson when he got to Cleveland in practice if he was going to miss LeVar, and he just laughed. He's like, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, no.
I'm not going to miss him at all.
So LeVar, he needed to be back in the spotlight.
He was right on the last one. You can say what you want. He was right about the Luke Walton thing.
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked at all if there's a team dumb enough to take on the other two brothers.
No.
What?
Will Lonzo actually leave the Lakers?
Yeah, if another team's willing to take on his brothers.
I think that teams are stupid enough to do that. I'm more concerned, is Lonzo dumb enough to have a power play like that over that?
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
There's a little truth to LeVar Ball. And I know we don't like to admit that here in this essential sports world that we've created, but there's a little truth to what he does. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying he does it the right way. Little truth to what he does. He did that with Luke Walton. He seemed to be pretty dead on with it.
Somebody said if they lose change, maybe Jell-O shouldn't have stolen the if they lose change, maybe Jell-O should have stolen a purse, not sunglasses. Nice little tweet there we got. Hey, is anybody in the area watching college basketball?
I would be willing to gamble no.
Because Oregon State had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, they had a buzzer
beater. I was listening to the Husky Honks because I was on my way back from Seattle. And I got in the car. I was like, I saw the score. And I was like,
Dave,
oh, sweet.
Softy Mahler stuff?
Oh, yeah. It was a couple of Husky Honks. And they were not happy about the end of that game. When Thompson went to the line at the end of, what was it, the first overtime he went to the line?
He missed the free throws.
They were adamant that was not a foul.
Of course they were.
So he was straight up. No foul there. And then when he hit the game-winning three, it was, and he shoot. Oregon State's going to win the game. It was one of those, like, just completely disappears. But Oregon and Oregon State both swept this weekend. Nice little weekend for the Ducks and Beavs.
Yeah, the Ducks have moved into the 4 seed currently.
In the Pac-12, yeah.
That means they wouldn't have to play an opening round game.
Still means, by the way, they would miss the tournament because this conference is terrible.
Yeah, they're not in yet.
They might get two teams into the conference, the NCAA tournament. That's how bad this conference is.
They'll get...
Yeah, outside Arizona,
they'll get
nothing.
Three... Because I think Arizona,
four.
UCLA, ASU.
They'll get four in. I think if the Ducks go on a
Stanford,
run.
Would you say? Or no, USC.
No, Stanford's
USC.
Awful.
USC.
USC can get in. The Ducks can still get in.
Yeah, it's tough.
If they go on a run, which they're capable of doing, it finally looks like Trace Tinkle is healthy.
He's been playing good all year.
Well.
I mean, he's really good.
Really good right now. So. I think the Beavs are a team they're starting to figure themselves out. I don't think anybody wants to see them in the Pac-12 tournament.
It's a fun, good year for Tinkle, man. Good bounce back year.
Well, I mean, they're still, in some people's eyes, a little disappointing. But here's the beauty of this conference. Just do what you need to do.
It's wide open.
Get to the tournament. It's wide open.
Somebody texted in, college basketball is still a thing? Still a thing, man.
So it's basically admitting if it's not a Final Four run, we're really not in that much. Which is kind of something we already do. Yeah.
Speak for yourselves.
Well, but you're in it, though. I mean,
yeah, I know.
You're in it.
All right, there you go.
You can't read any of those texts, can you?
No, there's some we could read, but some we can't.
It's been a good college basketball season, though.
It has been a great year.
You got Blue Bloods, and then you got some of these new ones.
I'm excited for the tournament. All right, there you go.
Aren't you always, though?
Yeah, I mean, you always are every year. If you missed any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Thurton Sprague and at 1080thefan as well. Enjoy your beautiful Monday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our show today. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.